And then verse 44 of chapter 8 of the book of John, verse 43 says, "Why do you not understand my speech?" Jesus Christ had been approached by a group of religious people. He was being ridiculed and mocked for the stand that he was taking for his heavenly Father. As these people came to him, he was trying to get across to them, that you could tell who they were by their attitudes and by their actions. You could tell who they were from, where they were from, by their attitudes and their actions, by their reactions towards what he was saying. And then verse 44 of chapter 8 of the book of John, verse 43 says, "Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." And Jesus goes on to say, "And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not." It is possible to tell the truth and have people not believe you. We look around and we say, as we give out the Word of God, there's very few people who will believe. As we look back on the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, the actual Son of God, there were very few people who believed Him. We actually see the inner circle there of 12 men, actually the disciples, 12 men, and the Bible says one of them was a devil from the beginning. The Bible also tells us that even within that small group of men, that there are actually three men who were very close to Jesus, Peter, James, and John. They were actually the inner circle. As we look around us today, is it any wonder that people do not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Is it any wonder? Do you know, I believe the biggest liar in the world is the devil. Jesus said, "You are of your father, the devil." He was a liar from the beginning. Now, I've met many big liars in my lifetime, but I would have to say that the devil is the biggest. He's the biggest liar in the world. If you've been saved for any length of time or a short time, you probably, if you haven't come into contact with him during that time, something's wrong. If you haven't bumped into him, you're going the same way he is. So therefore, you need to take stock today, and you need to understand that he is the world's biggest liar. The Bible says that there is a devil. And one of the first lies that the devil will tell you as a saved person is that there is no devil. Billy Sunday said that he knew that there was a devil for two reasons. First, the Bible declares it. Secondly, he says, "I've done business with him." If you've been around any length of time, you've done business with the devil. First, before you were saved, the devil was leading you down a road of sin, ruin, and to hell. He's the one who was directing your course of life, and you've had business with him. And then after you get saved, you have business to conduct with the devil. You have to say to him, "Get thee behind me, Satan, because I don't want to have anything to do with you anymore. I'm on my way to heaven now, and I don't need you. All I need is the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, don't let anybody tell you that there is not a devil. There is a devil. Don't believe the lie that there is not a devil. Over in Genesis chapter 3, in verses 1 through 15, we have the account of how Eve was tempted of the devil. The devil came, and the Bible says that the serpent was the most beautiful creature in the garden. The serpent was more subtle and more beautiful than any creature in that place, that beautiful Garden of Eden that God had created and planted there eastward. The Bible says that Satan came, and he appeared, and he was in the form of that serpent, and he talked to Eve, and he says, "Yea, hath God said." He said, "You're not going to really die. Do you really believe that garbage?" Satan put doubts in the mind of Eve. Satan caused doubt to come in that woman's mind. And as a result, she was deceived. And as a result, her husband willfully sinned and partook of that forbidden fruit. But you see, Satan is not in the form of a serpent today. The Bible says that he's able to transform himself into an angel of light. You think that the serpent was the most beautiful creature in the garden, you should see Satan now. Because he can appear in the forms that you have no idea what he is. I mean, the most beautiful creation that you've ever seen. And you know, he's a great imitator. He's imitating what he used to be, really. He was Lucifer, the bright and shining one. He was very beautiful. In fact, I believe he was the most beautiful created being that was ever created. And now, instead of being that person, being himself, being real, he's become a fake. And did you ever stop and think, he is so much of a liar, he even has to lie about being Lucifer. Now, he can't be Lucifer any longer. He's Satan. He's the great deceiver. There's so many verses in the Word of God that talks about this. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 2 with me, if you would. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 26. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14. The Bible says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil." James chapter 4 and verse 7. 4:7 of the book of James, a few pages over from the book of Hebrews there. "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." One of the greatest lies that this liar has ever told this world is that there is no devil. There's simply an evil influence. All people have an evil influence within them, and I believe that someone would say that there's also a good influence in everyone. So there's really no God, there's really no devil, there's just an evil and a good influence within each individual. That's a lie. That's a lie. There is a heaven, there is a God, there is a hell, there is a devil. The devil is real. You're going to be coming into contact with him more and more and more every day of your lives, because his time is short. And everything he can do to damn souls to hell, he's going to do it. Now, if you've been saved, he can't touch your soul. He can't bother you. There's no way. Now, he can cause you problems, but he can't take your soul to hell. You're saved. You've been born again. You've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And there's nothing stronger than that blood. That blood that cleanses from all sin. The Bible says that what God has called clean, don't let anybody call unclean. Don't you let anybody tell you that God's blood and Jesus' blood is not able to save you to the uttermost. Now, the Bible says that there is a devil. And in fact, in chapter 12 of the book of Revelation, we read about the devil. And if there is no devil, why did God write about him in the first place? But you see, there is a devil. There's a real devil today. 12:9 of Revelation says, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." The devil. Satan. The deceiver. The one who wants to send everyone to hell. Notice in verse 10 here. Verse 10. It says, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." He can't touch your soul, but he can accuse you. He can accuse you. Not only does he accuse you before God, but he accuses you to your face. He can make you so miserable that you think you're lost and on your way to hell. He's a great deceiver. Now, the truth of the matter is that none of us deserves heaven, but it's only through the Lord Jesus Christ that we get there, you see. We don't deserve heaven, but don't let anyone tell you there is not a devil. He's a liar. There is a devil. Now, I believe the second thing that the devil lies about is that the Bible is not God's Word. That's one thing that the devil will try to get each one of us to believe, that there is no Word of God today. Now, I wonder if we would sit down and we would start counting the different versions of this book. I wonder how many versions there would be today. I just wonder how many versions. You know, there's one thing that I like about the old King James. It doesn't contain the Word of God. It is the Word of God. Amen. You see that? Somebody says, what makes the difference in this book that you carry than the book that I carry that has another name on it other than King James? Well, the only thing I can say is this is the Word. Amen. This is the Word. Yours may contain the Word. You see, it is possible for a person to be saved by looking at another version of the Bible. That is, if it doesn't leave out the blood. If it doesn't leave out, call on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It can have those things, and a person can be saved like that because it is the Word of God. It does contain the Word of God. But this doesn't contain it. It is it. That's bad English, but that's right, isn't it? It is the Word of God. This precious book I'd rather own than all the gold and gems that e'er in monarch's coffer shone or on their diadems. And were the seas one chrysolite, this earth one golden ball, and diamonds all the stars of night, this book were worth them all. Ah, no, the soul ne'er found relief in glittering hoards of wealth. Gems dazzle not the eye of grief. Gold cannot purchase health. But here a blessed balm appears to heal the deepest woe in those who read this book of tears. Their tears shall cease to flow. That's the greatest thing about this book. It brings comfort to the heart, those who are saved. That's another reason I know it is the Word of God. It not only cuts to the deepest intent or the deepest part of my soul, but when it cuts, it's spreading the balm of Gilead. It goes behind, and as the sword goes through and starts slicing me up, that healing balm is going behind it and taking care of my deepest wound. Now, you may be here today, and you may be in deep trouble. You may have the largest care of the world upon your shoulders today, but there's no care that can't be solved through the reading of this book. There is no happiness, no joy for the Christian apart from a steady diet of the Word of God. This is the Word of God. It is the Word of God. And there's no doubt in my mind, what if we don't study the Word, that we're going to be spiritual anemics. Spiritual pygmies. We might say spiritual pygmies for God. I'd rather be a giant for God. And I'd rather stay in His book. Would you look at a couple of verses with me? Genesis chapter 3 once again. When I started out there, let's look at it again. It says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. This is Satan now. And notice one of the first things he did in the Garden of Eden to discredit God. It says that he was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. You know what he was doing? He was trying to say, hey, this is not the Word of God. And I believe the reason you have so many versions, diversions, perversions on the market today is because that you start, especially dealing with a lost person, they're going to say, well, what is the Word of God? If you Christians can't get together on what is the Word of God, how do I know what is the Word of God? How can I be sure? But you see, I am sure. And you need to be sure. You need to take a stand. You need to stand. You need to make up your mind. This is either the Word of God or it is not the Word of God. You need to take a stand now. The same Word of God is what I saw one night. I saw my need of a Savior because I was lost on my way to hell. This book was good enough to show me who I was. This book was a mirror. When I looked into the book, I saw Lewis Woodard, rotten, no good, rotten to the core, on his way to hell. And then, thank God, I saw someone standing behind me. It was the nail-pierced hands and the nail-pierced feet and the crucified Lord on the cross of Calvary. He said, I'm here, and I'm here. All you've got to do is to take me. When I took him, I saw in that mirror that we were then one. No longer was he behind me. No longer was he beside me. But he was with me. And I was with him. Paul the Apostle says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but it's Christ that lives in me. When we get saved, we have the Lord Jesus Christ in us. We're there. And the Bible tells us that we're with him and he's with us. In Mark chapter 13 and verse 31. This blesses my heart. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. The words of God will never pass away. The storms of time have come and tried to obliterate the Word of God. There have been atheists who have tried to destroy it by burning it. They've tried to destroy and kill the ones who have printed the Word of God. But still, the Word of God goes on and on. There is no end to the Word of God. Every man, woman, boy, and girl in this world could try and destroy the Word of God, but they'll never destroy it. If everyone in the world at this time turned against God and turned against the Word of God and tried to destroy this book, there's no way that it could happen. Because the Bible says, Jesus said, my word shall not pass away. Heaven and earth is going to pass away, But my word is never going to pass away. Look in John chapter 12 now. John chapter 12. And just a few pages over from our text in John chapter 8 and verse 44. John 12, verse 48. The Bible says, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him." Somebody says, the word of God is not so important, is it? I mean, certainly you can be saved by good singing. Brother Steve blesses my heart when he sings. I thank God that he's willing to give his time to sing for the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you ever stop singing for the Lord Jesus Christ, you've had it, because I'll come after you, okay? But I thank God that he's willing to sing for the Lord. But you know, no matter how good Brother Stevie's voice is, and no matter how good the words are to the song, no matter how good the music is, the Bible says nothing about by the foolishness of singing shall some be saved. By the foolishness of singing shall people come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. What does it say? By the foolishness of the preaching of the Word of God that people are saved. It's the Word of God. I thank God for good testimonies. But it never says by the foolishness of testifying. I thank God for good testimonies. I think that it's an important part of church services, and I think singing is a good, important part of church services. Is the Word of God important? Someone says, "I just don't really think the Word of God is important," and some of them go as far as never carry their Bible to the house of God. Now, some don't know, and that's understandable. But you see, from this point on, a person needs to have their Bible. They need to have the Bible. Is the Word of God important? Notice verse 48 now. "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." Hey, what are the books? It says, the books were open. And another book, the book of life. The books, what are the books? I believe it's the 66 books that make up this one book that I have in my hand today. What's going to judge us the last day? The word of God. The word of God. Is it important? Certainly it is. Because it's going to judge us at that day. Well, that's one of the lies that the devil will try to tell you, is that the Bible is not God's Word. Some will actually say, "I get my revelation through dreams." I'd hate to call them a liar, but God does. How many of your dreams come to pass? If 100% of them do not come to pass, if 100% of those predictions do not come to pass, then it's not of God. You can have 99.9% of them happen, and if that last 0.1% does not come to pass, your dreams are not of God. It's proven. Some people say, "I go to the Ouija board." Well, that's of the devil anyway, isn't it? He's really got you hooked. The Bible is the Word of God. Don't you let Satan tell you that it is not the Word of God. Third thing is that the devil will say is, "You're not so bad. You're not so bad." If you're here today without Jesus Christ, that's one of the things Satan tells you. You're not so bad, but the Bible says the heart is desperately wicked. It's desperately wicked, and who can know it? Isaiah chapter 66, or 53 and verse 6, says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him," that's Jesus, "the iniquity." What's iniquity? It's sin. It's moral wrongness. It's actually a slap in the face of God. And especially when the devil can get you to believe, "You're not so bad." Look, I've talked to people before, and they say, "You know, I really think if anybody makes it, I can make it, because I'm not so bad. I've been a good little boy all my life." They just told a lie when they said that. The Bible says that no liar shall enter heaven. No unrighteousness will go there. And that person should realize that they are bad, that they do have a need of a Savior. Look in Romans chapter 3 with me, if you would. Verse 9. Romans 3:9. "What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin." Jews and Gentiles, in the Word of God, means everyone. That takes in the whole group. "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become what? Guilty. Guilty. The whole world may become guilty before God. You see, God doesn't pick out certain individuals and say, you're bad, you're good. This fellow over here, he's a little bit taller than you, he's good, you're bad. No, God doesn't do that. He says, you're all the same. We're all the same down here, you see. We're all guilty. We're all guilty of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Without the crucifixion, I'd be lost on my way to hell. Jesus Christ came to die, and if you'd been the only person that was bad, He'd have died for you. But the thing of it is, we're all in the same position. We're all guilty before a righteous God. The devil will tell you you're not so bad. Now, you know you're a little bad, don't you? You see. But he says, that's just a little bit. You know, a little bit never hurt anybody. You ever hear that old saying, you used to have it, what was it, Brill Cream? A little dabble, do you? Huh? I used to use that stuff a long time ago. I think it was Brill. I used to find, you know, look what it did to me. If you're using it, you better quit using it. Okay, a little dabble, do you? Little Satan say, a little dab won't hurt you too much. Just a little sin won't hurt you. You're not so bad. You may be a little naughty, you know, a little white lies, a little white sins. There is no such thing. It's sin. It's sin. God says we're all guilty. And the only way that you can be acquitted is to ask Jesus Christ to intercede on your behalf, to go through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The fourth thing, God is too good to send anyone to hell. Did you ever hear that? Oh, Satan uses that. God's too good to send anyone to hell. Well, he's got a multitude of people believing this lie, but don't you believe it. There is a hell. And I believe that Christians are being lulled to sleep today by the fact that they don't even really believe there's a hell themselves. Now, there was a time in their lives when they come to Jesus Christ and they said, oh, God, save me. Look, what were you saved from if there's no hell? What were you saved from? Now, I believe we're saved from several things. We're saved from sin, not in our sins. Saved from our sin. But one of the greatest things that we have today as Christians, we're saved from hell. Saved from hell for eternity. We don't have to worry about going to hell. And maybe that's the point. Maybe that's the reason that a lot of people don't do more for the Lord Jesus Christ. So what? Let the world go to hell. I'm on my way to heaven. Every man for himself. C.T. Studd was a great man of God. I shared some of the book with Brother Steve the other night. He was a man who was a wealthy man. And his father had gotten saved under the ministry of D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody had come across to Britain, England. He's preaching over there, and his father had gotten saved. And his father got things right with God and started serving God and winning souls. And C.T. Studd went for about 6 years just a haphazard Christian, normal Christian, doing nothing for God. One day he read a little tract. One of the atheists of that day, one of the great known atheists, and you probably heard this. He picked that track up. An atheist had written a track. And he made a statement. He said, Christians are liars. If Christians really believed what they said they believed, if they really believed in a heaven where everything is blissful and everything is good, if they really believed in an eternal tormenting hell where all people go without Jesus Christ, if they really believed that, he said, if I believed that, if I was a Christian and I believed what I said I believed, he said, I wouldn't rest. He said, I'd be out and I'd knock on doors. He said, I'd be out and I'd be telling everybody that Jesus Christ saves, that there is a hell, there is a place of eternal torment. He said, but they're all liars and there is no such place. Now that was an atheist's view of a Christian. C.T. Studd said that burned his heart. He said it got him. You know what? He sold out to God. He was a very wealthy man. I've got pictures in that book where he was in a huge... You think of the biggest house around here, and his house was bigger than that. Huge! And then you look up in the little corner of that, it shows him in a hut, outside a hut in Africa, sitting there in a chair, a shack. He'd given all of his money away. He'd given all of his wealth away to serve God. He died on the mission field in Africa. In fact, he served on three continents or three different areas. He served in India, he served in China, and he served in Africa. Was it India? Served in India. God blessed that man because he really believed that there was a hell. Do you believe there's a hell? We hear so much about it, it becomes so commonplace to us. We take it for granted, just like we take heaven for granted. But folks, there is a hell. There is a place today where our loved ones going to drop off and go into. Folks, we got to reach them. We got to reach them. You need to get a vision of hell today. You need to know that there is a hell, and you should not fall for that old line that the devil's feeding today. There is no hell, and God's too good to send anyone to hell. God created hell for the devil and his angels. And I believe with all of my soul, we look around and we say, well, his angels are going to fall with him. They fell with him. They chose. I believe that his angels, we read about them in John 8:44, ye are of your father the devil. Everyone who rejects Jesus Christ as Savior, they are a messenger, an angel of Satan. Ye are of your father the devil. God created hell for the devil and his angels. Now, it's a fact. There is a hell, and people are going there. Number five. You ever heard this? You won't be able to hold out as a Christian. You won't be able to hold out as a Christian. And the devil will tell people, you won't be able to hold out as a Christian. Well, thank God, when we put our trust in Jesus Christ, He holds us. We don't have to hold out to anything. Jesus holds us. It's not up to us. He's got us, and He's never going to let us go. The devil can't touch me today, and he can't touch you if you know Jesus is your Savior. Quickly, let's look at some verses. John 6:37. Now, I know these are familiar verses to many of you. John 6:37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. God is not an in-end giver. God gave His Son, me, when I got saved. He said, all that the Father giveth me. If you got saved, if you asked Jesus into your heart, you not only received a free gift of eternal life, you personally, you received a free gift, but God took you and gave you to Jesus Christ. To me, that is the greatest proof that I'll never die and go to hell now. Because God gave me to His Son, Jesus Christ. He's not about to take me back from Him. I'm there. I'm His. And there's no way that I'm going to perish. John 10:27-29. My sheep hear my voice. You know the verses there. My sheep hear my voice. I give unto them eternal life, and no man shall ever pluck them out of my Father's hand. Would you look in Philippians chapter 1 with me quickly? Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. The Bible says there, being confident of this very thing. Notice, being confident. Confidence means we know, doesn't it? Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work. Is a good work, is that, a good work? When you get saved and you start serving God. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That means he's going to perform it. If God can't do it, then you're lost. But he's God. And the Bible says that He can perform it. He's going to take care of you until Jesus Christ comes back and hollers down and says, come up hither! And we go up to be with Him. The body of Christ goes to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. You've named Jesus as your Savior. You are saved. You will go up. Jude 24. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. The devil's going to tell you, you can't hold out. You can't hold out. You kick him in the teeth. You tell him you're not going to believe him, you're going to believe your heavenly Father. He's no longer your Father, but your heavenly Father is, and you're going to believe Him when He says that He's able to hold you up. The book of Psalms says, though I fall down, I will not utterly be cast down, but He'll lift me up. He'll take care of me. He'll put me in His arms, and He'll take me where I need to go. Number six. There's too much to give up to become a Christian. You ever heard that? Too much to give up. You see, there is a devil. He is a liar. He will tell you some of these things that I've mentioned to you today. But don't you believe them. God is truth, and in Him is no lie. You believe God. You stick with His Word. You go with Jesus Christ, and He'll stay with you. He'll watch over you. And even when you don't, stick with Him. After you get saved, if something happens in your life and you turn away from God, you're still saved. But you're bringing dishonor and disgrace to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's still with you. He's holding you up. What are you doing for Him? Let's pray. Lord, today, Father, it seems so useless sometimes. Father, you know the needs. You know the hearts. Lord, I pray that this message would speak to hearts today. Lord, if there's one here without Christ, may that individual come and be saved. Father, I pray for your saved people here. I pray that we would understand that time is short. Lord, I pray that you would forgive us where we've taken you for granted. Forgive my heart, Lord. Father, I pray that there's one here today who needs to come as a saved person and say, yes, I want to dedicate my life to the Lord today, that individual would do it. Father, help them not to come just to be coming. But if you've really, truly spoken to their heart, may they come today for Christ's sake. Let's stand with our heads bowed, eyes closed. If you're not saved and God's spoken to your heart, would you step out?